For not all who descended from Israel belong to Israel. What? Does that make any sense to you? It's our reading for the eighth Sunday after Pentecost coming up this Sunday, and we're going to be talking about it on this Monday, July the 28th, in the year of our Lord 2014. I'm Tom Baker, your host for Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO Radio. What we're examining is sometimes a lot of people like to use an English concordance to try and figure out what words mean, assuming, therefore, that the same English word in one text means the same as in another text. So, for example, if you look up such a word as, well, even a name or even a place, let's say Phoenicia. When you look that up, you'll find out, well, that's a geographical location. And all the texts, all the verses that use that word, that's what it means. But as we've said about law and gospel, the word law has about a dozen different meanings. And you really can't figure out which meaning you're talking about unless you look at the context. Now, for example, you may be thinking that law means Ten Commandments. But tomorrow we're going to be preaching here at the IC at 10 o'clock, and the title of our sermon is, Don't Call the Ten Commandments the Ten Commandments. And it's going to be very interesting. We may talk more about it on Wednesday, or you can attend the worship service tomorrow here at the International Center, 1333 South Kirkwood, at 10 a.m. Well, what we're going to be looking at today is a word that appears twice in the same verse, but has totally different meanings. What? Well, what is that word? Well, let me read the verse. Romans 9, verse 6. It is not as though the word of God has failed, for not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel. The word Israel is found twice. But obviously it must have different meanings. Because it's saying just because you're descended from Israel, you don't belong to Israel. Now, how do we understand that verse? Well, you could use your reason, I imagine. There's various theories. One is replacement theology, another is remnant theology, as to how Israel is not really Israel. But what we're going to do is use scripture interpreting scripture. Now, when we say scripture interprets scripture, the first step is not to look from Romans 9, verse 6 to, say, Revelation 5 or Malachi 8 or Isaiah 9. I mean, it's not that you can't do that if the texts are talking about the same item. But you need to look at the immediate context. In other words, the verses surrounding the question you have on your mind. And then you may go to the entire chapter and then maybe the book before you go to other books. Because among theologians, it's quite obvious that different writers will use the same word but might have a different meaning. So let's take a look at Romans 9. And therefore, let's read the verses before and the verses after. Paul says, "For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers." Now, normally the term brother, if you look that up, usually means fellow Christians. But Paul uses it in a different sense. In fact, it's the only time in the Bible that Paul uses the brothers not to refer to other Christians, but to others in Israel. Now, how do I know that? Well, let me finish reading the verse. "I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh." Ooh, that is pregnant with meaning. Kinsmen means relatives, others of the same identity, the same race, the same nation, but according to the flesh. Now, we want to keep that in mind, because what does that mean? Are we not relatives to people who are the same flesh as us? Well, what does Paul mean, according to the flesh? Well, here's another word that doesn't mean what you think it means. He's not referring to those who have flesh and blood. He's saying, according to the flesh. Well, we'll have to keep that in mind as we move down. Verse 4, Romans 9. They are Israelites. Now, who is they? Well, what he just said, his kinsmen according to the flesh. So we would be talking about Israel of the Old Testament. They are Israelites. To them belong the adoption. That is how they were brought into the kingdom of God. The glory, the covenants, that's God's agreements with them. The giving of the law, Mount Sinai, the worship in the tabernacle and the temple. And the promises. What promises? Isaiah 53, by his stripes we are healed. The Lord will lay on him the iniquity of us all. Hundreds of promises in the Old Testament books referring to the coming of the Messiah. And to whom does all this belong? To the Israelites. The Israelites were the chosen people of God, as we well know. In fact, do you recall where the word Israelite comes from? Well, if you remember, God gave to Jacob, which, by the way, means heel holder or supplanter. He was the son of Isaac, the grandson of Abraham, and he was also the father of the 12 patriarchs of the tribes of Israel. God gave to Jacob the name Israel. By the way, that is a wordplay. It uses a Hebrew word, Yisrei, which is the imperfect form of Sarah, meaning will fight, combined with the suffix of God, El. And therefore, well, etymologically, Israel means God fights. And it's found in Genesis 32:26, the wordplay. For you have striven, that's fight, as a prince with God and with men and have prevailed. Well, then Israel then refers to the 70 descendants of Jacob who entered into Egypt under the auspices of Joseph. They later grew into a great nation. Then they had to flee from Egypt, the Exodus. They went to Canaan. They wanted a king. And then after both Saul and David and Solomon as their first three kings over all 12 tribes, then they divided into the kingdom of Judah and the kingdom of Israel. 10 tribes of Judah, 2 tribes of Israel, the southern tribes. Samaritans defeated those tribes of Judah, went into exile. We don't even know what happened to them. And then the Babylonians took over Israel, as we all know, the Babylonian captivity. Now, this is a little background for the word Israel that Paul is talking about here. And that's why he says that according to them, all these things belonged. And in fact, he continues in verse 5. To them belong the patriarchs. Now the patriarchs are those, of course, of the great fathers of the Old Testament. And from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. So this is a little background that Paul is giving, that yes, we know of these Israelites, and they had all these promises, they had the adoption, they had the glory, they had the covenants, they had the giving of the law, proper worship, and the promises concerning Jesus. But how come all of them are not believers in Jesus Christ? Some of their leaders even killed Jesus Christ. So it sounds like God's plan, his word, failed. And verse 6 says, but it is not as though the word of God has failed. And then comes our little verse. For not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel. Well, now we're confused. If you're descended from Israel, how can you not belong to Israel? Well, verse 7 and 8, well, what it does, it explains. Not all are children of Israel because they are his offspring. Wow, now we're really confused. Because if you're the offspring of Abraham, if you can trace your lineage back to Abraham, how can you say that you are not children of Abraham? Simply because you are of his offspring. Well, he quotes the Old Testament. Through Isaac shall your offspring be named. Okay, well, what's so significant about Isaac? Well, remember God came to Abraham and Sarah, told them they were going to have a son. At that time, Sarah was pretty old. And similarly with Abraham. She was 65, he was 75. It wasn't until 25 years later that Isaac was born. And remember, you had the problem with Abraham getting impatient, so he had a child with Hagar. Well, that's not what God's plan was. Now, this is really significant, that through Isaac shall your offspring be named. Be named what? Well, we're going to find out they're going to be named Israel. So what's different about being the offspring of Abraham in contrast to being the offspring of Isaac? And what we're going to do is we're going to get back to that point that I was making, that Paul does talk about Israelites as kinsmen according to the flesh. And remember, we were asking, what does that mean? Well, now we're going to hear. And it is verse 7, which said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. Now listen to verse 8. This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as offspring. Wow. You see, if you don't understand law and gospel properly, you'll never figure out the Bible. The Bible will remain a closed book. It's not that you may not be saved, but you get really confused over certain passages, and more importantly, you will lose much comfort that God wants to give to you. This is a significant distinction. Remember, theology is the art of making distinctions. And here is a distinction that God is using between Israel and Israel. There are two Israels in the mind of God. Remember, the goal of every Bible study and every sermon is to get you to think like God. In other words, yesterday when I was at Grace Pagedale, we had a sermon on a well-known text. And, of course, the text was about a person who found treasure in a field, sold all that he had, and bought that field. Now, I would say 95% of commentators think that the parable is about you, that you ought to think so highly of the kingdom of God that you're willing to give up everything for it, which, of course, doesn't really make sense from a Lutheran point of view, because there's nothing you can give up for the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not something you merit. It's given to you. And so what we did in the sermon is pointed out that parables, if they're kingdom parables, which this parable is, because it begins, the kingdom of heaven is like, is really about Jesus. It's not you who gave up everything for the kingdom of heaven. You didn't earn it. Jesus gave up everything. He came from his rainbow-encircled throne, one can speak, that glorious place, and became incarnate so that he might die for you. Because only as a human being could he die. And that human being he became through the sake of Jesus Christ for your sakes. So, the parable of the treasure in the field isn't about you at all. It's about Jesus. You're his treasure. In fact, if you look up in the Old Testament, the word treasure, God's treasure, is, guess what? We're getting right back to it. Israel, his chosen people. You are God's treasure. Not recently, we had one of the secretaries here adopt two children, she and her husband. She considers them their treasure. They may not be begotten into the family, but they're adopted into the family. And they're precious children. So are you. If you're of the right Israel. So, let's examine verse 8 a little more. This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as offspring. This is clearly helped by our understanding of law and gospel. People who live under the law, who think that they're saved because of what they do, they think they're children of Abraham because they can trace their lineage back to him. But they're confused, because the true children of Abraham that are truly Israel, according to God here, are those who do not work their way into heaven, but rather believe the promises of the gospel. That's what we mean. But the children of the promise are counted as offspring. Who are the children of the promise? They are those like Abraham who believed the promise of God, and guess what? It was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, God isn't coming to you and saying that you and your wife of 65 years old, that you're going to have children. No. He comes to you and says, Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, in the sense that he took away the punishment of sins that you should have had. Do you believe that? Then you are a child of the promise, and then you are of the true Israel. So while there's a lot of speculation about the two Israels, we would put it real plainly here that God's people, of course, are Israel. And those are the true people who believe the promises, not only given to Abraham, not only given to Moses, not only given to David, Solomon, Isaiah, all the Old Testament prophets, but the promises fulfilled in the person and work of Jesus Christ. If you believe that, you could not come to that faith by your will. No, you had to come through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because apart from the Holy Spirit, all this Bible stuff is ridiculous. But with the power of the Holy Spirit, that which used to be unable to be seen is now seen in a way that you believe. And by believing in Jesus Christ, you are considered children of the promise. Not just children, because you can trace your relationship back to Abraham. And see, that's why Gentiles are now part of the promise of God. Why? Because they have become Israel through faith in Jesus Christ. And that's explained further on if you go through chapters 9, 10, and 11. In fact, there's places there where all Israel will be saved. Well, how can that happen? Well, Paul says it in Romans 10. Listen to this. Everyone who believes in him, did you hear that? Who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between what? Jew and Jew? No, between Jew and Greek. There is no distinction, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who what? Obey him? No, who call on him. And verse 13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. See, this is so clear. And in fact, if you want to see how Gentiles were grafted in, you go to chapter 11, verse 11 and following. Because what it says is that even Gentiles have now become part of Israel. Verse 17 is so important. Speaking of the Israel of the flesh, if some of the branches were broken off, and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree, don't be arrogant toward the branches. You see, some of those branches were the Israel of the flesh. You are a wild olive tree. Nobody grafts wild olive trees into good trees. In fact, here the Bible says that this was even contrary to nature, that you became a member of Israel. But you did become a member of Israel by the grace of God, because of what God has done in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So you are a children of the promise. It's a law and gospel thing. A person living under the law gets saved by doing works. A person living under the gospel gets saved by believing promises. The works that the person under the gospel does are wonderful works. They're called fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's just that they have nothing to do with your becoming saved, because they can only occur after you are totally and fully saved. The good works that come from the Christian, called fruit of the Holy Spirit, which God talks about in Matthew 25, the parable of the sheep, these are evidence that you've already been totally saved. So don't ever boast about your works as, oh boy, look at me, I'm so good. God, you know, I deserve to be saved. No, you never deserve to be saved. We're not dealing with a God of justice. We're dealing with a God of mercy, a God of grace. It's totally different. It's a law gospel kind of thing. So when we're talking about the salvation of Israel, we're talking about the salvation of all who are of the promise. That's why you have the same word in Romans chapter 9, verse 6, Israel, but with two different meanings. For not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel. Because it's not your descent from Abraham by the flesh, but your descent from Isaac through the promise. As it says in verse 7, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. So remember the Pharisees arguing with Jesus, saying, hey, you know, we're born of Abraham. And Jesus says, you know, if God so wanted, he could make, you know, offspring from Abraham from these stones. But God doesn't do that. He makes offspring of truly Abraham and Isaac from promises. Promises of the gospel. This is the greatest news. And that's why you need to be telling your people to be listening to KFUO. Because as far as I know, it's the only radio station in the world that speaks biblical truth accurately all the time. And why does it do that? Because from a Lutheran point of view, Scripture interprets Scripture. That's why it's so important, Lutheran theology. Lutherans don't have a higher place in heaven. No, but as I have been saying recently, when you get to heaven, if you're not Lutheran, you'll become Lutheran, because you will give all the credit to your salvation, for your salvation, to none other than Jesus Christ. And if you want more information about that, don't hesitate to take a look at our website. In fact, we just sent out some more free items. If you'd like to do that, go to lawandgospel101.com. That's lawandgospel101.com. Israel101.com and sign up for our free newsletter, because you get some free items and you also get reduced prices on other products. On tomorrow's Law and Gospel, we're going to be talking with Pastor Mark Smith about a hymn that says, if you eat something, you will never die. What? Well, I can understand if you eat certain things, you may be losing weight, going on a diet. But boy, have you ever heard that? If you eat something, you will never die. That's what we'll be talking about with Pastor Mark Smith on tomorrow's Law and Gospel. Till then, I'm Tom Baker. Thanks so much for listening. Remember my website, lawandgospel101.com. God bless. Till tomorrow.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.